experience with software applications. Also, you must love the Lord and understand Christian terminology. For an in-person interview, call 904-262-7777 and leave a message. First Conservative Baptist Church is an equal opportunity employer. Thanks for wanting to serve the Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've tuned in today, looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on what I consider a very, very, very imperative issue to discuss. The question, by the way, of the issue is in question form. Are we losing our liberties? Most people today, and perhaps you're in that group, I don't know. Most people today are so busy in life, so busy making a living, so busy going at the rapid pace that we fail to recognize incrementally exactly what is taking place to our constitutional liberties and what God has so blessed us with as a nation. We're witnessing today the incremental loss of that. And that's taken place by the atheists, the agnostics, the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic party, and the Islamics today. In fact, perhaps, if you want to categorize it, perhaps the shadow of Islam looming over America would be the greatest danger in removing our liberties of anything that we have witnessed in your lifetime and in my lifetime. But I'm thankful when we start to see major indications, major signs, if you will, from God as to God's chronology and what God is doing. As I said just before the news break, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. But just prior to the rapture of the church, in my opinion, there must be the starting of the new temple, the third temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And I believe, as I've said for many, many years now, that I believe one day a Scud missile from out of Iran will be off course and will wipe that Temple Mount clean. I'm looking at a headline that almost touches on that perfectly. Unholy smoke. Iran missile fragments land near the Temple Mount, the Western Wall in Jerusalem. Iran on Friday sent what Israel's foreign ministry markingly called an Eid gift. That's EID, that's their celebration at the close of Ramadan, an Eid gift on the Muslim holiday, making the end of Ramadan toward one of the most combustible places on earth, with dramatic footage capturing the moment fragments from an intercepted ballistic missile crashed into Jerusalem's old city near the Temple Mount and the Western Wall in an area sacred to Jews and Christians alike. According to the Israeli authorities, the missile was intercepted, but fragments fell into the parking lot of the Jewish quarters just 100 meters from the Western Wall and the El-Aqsa Mosque and the Temple Mount, causing damage but no reported injuries. The strike came after tensions had already flared in Jerusalem earlier Friday as Muslim worshippers gathered outside the old city after restrictions kept the El-Aqsa Mosque compound closed under wartime home front command guidelines limiting large gatherings. The Israeli Defense Forces summarily said missile fragments impacted right near the Temple Mount. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not holding my breath, but I do believe that the time is near. I do believe that based on what we see in the scripture, that the time is close. I do believe based on the chronology of what God says will happen and the time frame in which it will happen, I believe we're witnessing the clock ticking down to those final moments before the rapture of the church takes place. And I believe that what we're seeing is God preparing for that Temple Mount to be cleaned and a new temple built. Another headline says, Jerusalem shock. Iran missile impacts near the Western Wall and the Temple Mount. It's dated March 20, 2026. A fragment from an Iranian ballistic missile fell inside Jerusalem's Old City on Friday, landing in the Jewish quarter just hundreds of meters from the Western Wall and the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount. Footage captured the moment debris struck a parking lot in the Jewish quarter after the missile was intercepted by Israeli air defenses. Ladies and gentlemen, the stage is being set. And so, listen, simultaneously with the stage being set, eschatologically, prophetically speaking, we're witnessing actual events taking place in America and around the world that is setting the stage, and we should be able to see and witness what is taking place. We see, ladies and gentlemen, that there are few believers today that are concerned about any of the signs. Few believers today that's really ready and preparing for the things to come. Now, may I just pause for a moment? Are you concerned about what's happening? Are you concerned about things to come? Are you concerned about the future tense of America? Are you concerned about the desperate condition of the churches in the United States of America today? I believe that it's time that we as Christians become concerned and understand that the Barna Report said about a year ago that about one out of five churches in America would close. We see that taking place. And we see other sources telling us the same thing. We're witnessing churches across America shutting the doors today. Listen, there's a push today for Christians and Christian churches to embrace Islam and the teachings of the Quran. You say, what? What are you saying? Yes, I'm telling you that we're witnessing today a push for the churches to embrace Islam and the Quran. Back just a few years ago, under the leadership of Rick Warren, the pastor of the Saddleback Community Church in California, Rick Warren would have on a regular basis Islamic imams to come into his church, stand at his pulpit, and do the Islamic call to prayer, and wanted the Christians in his church to embrace Islam. Rick Warren capsulized and started, I believe, the term Chrislam. Chrislam, because he said that Christians and Islam are sister religions, and he embraced it and started that movement that's not stopped because he's retired. It has not ceased because he's not in the pulpit each Sunday. It's still real and recognized and is taking place. But I believe most Christians, most churches, most pastors do not recognize that is taking place. I'm looking at a headline. While the church must recognize the unholy alliance, the threat is now. Listen, I'm going to take a moment, read several paragraphs of this article, and talk about it. Across the nation, a major shift is taking place. Most churches are not even aware or equipped to address it. We're entering an era of unprecedented spiritual and demographic transformation that is catching the body of Christ completely off guard. Listen to some of the statistics. 52% of Muslim population growth, 52% Muslim population growth in North America over the last decade alone, according to the Pew Research Group. 60% of Americans claim Christianity, and yet only 4% hold a biblical worldview, Barna Report. 64% of pastors feel limited in their ability to speak out on moral issues, the Barna Report. Listen, you want me to interpret that for you? 64% of the preachers have no spine, no backbone, no theological guts, if you will, to stand up and speak out on moral issues. Moral issues meaning speaking against the sodomite LGBTQ, agenda. No backbone to stand up and speak out and say that these issues ought to be confronted biblically, because they're not political issues, they're theological, doctrinal, biblical issues that will not stand. They're afraid of numbers and nickels and noses. Most pastors are afraid they might hurt the feelings of some socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat that may be seated in the auditorium. They're afraid that somehow, some way, the numbers will shrivel, the money will stop if they speak the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, that's what God called pastors to do. This article reads further. This vacuum is being filled by the false gospel, progressive Christianity, universalism, and voices like Texas State Representative James Talarico, that's T-A-L-A-R-I-C-O, Talarico, I believe. He's a lost infidel that's running for office. He recently claimed, quote, all religions of love point to the same truth. All religions of love point to the same truth. This is the unholy alliance in action. As the church loses its theological conviction, it inadvertently clears the path for paradoxical partnership between the secular left and radical Islam. Though they hold dramatically opposite worldviews, they share a common target. That target is the Judeo-Christian foundation in America. The church is unprepared for this cultural moment. Burdens me greatly, this writer says. We cannot afford to ignore this any longer. And then the article goes into a great detail of spelling out what leaders can do to confront it. With clarity, he says, with conviction and courage. One, number one is this. Discern the strategy of stealth jihad is in our backyards. While most assume terrorism is Islam's greatest threat, the more insidious strategy is the subversion from within. Using tolerance as a shield, Islamics leverage unassimilated enclaves to advance Sharia law in America, which is fundamentally incompatible with Western freedoms that we have. You know, we're talking about today, are we losing our freedoms? Are we losing our liberties? Answer is yes. It's being pared down. It's being watered down. It's being cast aside. And more as we see that happening, we're witnessing the rise of Islam, Islamic Sharia law in America. Later in the broadcast, we're going to talk about what's the difference between Christianity and Islam. What are some of the core differences in that? We'll talk about it in just a moment. This article says, teach your congregation that true compassion, listen, does not require supporting leaders or policies that undermine the biblical and constitutional foundations of our society that we depend on. Encourage members to be active stewards in their city council and neighborhoods, and to reach those communities with the transformative power of the gospel. Secondly, confront all non-biblical worldviews clearly, directly. Today's activists have been captured by the omni-cause, the idea that every progressive cause, from identity politics to Free Palestine movement, is part of the single revolutionary battle against Western oppression. Meanwhile, too many church leaders are promoting Chrislam, the false claim that Muslims and Christians worship the same God, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's pause there. Do Muslims and Christians worship the same God? No, no, no. We worship God, the Creator God, that created the whole world and everything that's in it. Islam worships a false God. His name is Allah. When they scream in their martyrdom, Allah Akbar, they're saying Allah is the greater of all the gods. Allah is the moon god of the 7th century that Muhammad chose to be the god to worship. Allah is a false god. Anybody that believes in and follows Allah will die and go to a devil's hell. There's no salvation through Allah. Our God, the Creator God, loves the sinner and hates the sin. Allah hates the sinner and will commit him to hell, the hell fires, as the Quran calls it. But ladies and gentlemen, It's bad enough for that to be moving, but it's horrific to know that we have funds in America, major deep-pocketed foundations, major high-profile people and organizations that's funding a move to destroy the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring in Islam as the dominant religion in America. I'm looking at a headline. Left-wing foundations bankroll a push to bring the Quran into the American churches and pulpits. Sub-headline, Rockefeller-linked funding and grants from the Communities Foundation in Texas are underwriting the campaign, all framed as a fight against Islamophobia. Let me just read you three brief paragraphs, ladies and gentlemen, because we need to understand Islam and Christianity are not compatible. Islam and Christianity are diametrically opposed. Islam and Christianity have two different Jesuses. They have two different gods. Islam and Christianity has a total diametrically opposing viewpoint of what the world should be like and how we should live our lives. Headline says, left-wing foundations bankroll the push to bring the Quran into American churches and pulpits. The Rockefeller-linked funding and grants for the Communities Foundation of Texas are underwriting the campaign. A Chicago-based interfaith group now pushing churches, to read the Quran from the pulpit and to confront what is called Islamophobia in the church. Challenging Islamophobia Together, Chicagoland, they call it CITC, has quietly rolled out initiatives like It's Reading the Quran in Churches campaign, while promoting a broader effort to reshape Christianity and Christians' teaching from within the church. The premise is not subtle. Christianity itself must be totally reexamined. Must be theologically reconsidered. Its traditions must be reframed. Its posture toward Islam must be fundamentally reoriented. End quote. Behind CITC, that's the Challenging Islamophobia Together Chicagoland, sits a national advocacy network, the Interfaith Alliance Network, backed by millions of foundation funding. Public records show that the network has drawn support from major international institutional players, including Henry Luce Foundation, which awarded $300,000 grant, as well as the Rockefeller Family Fund, the Collaborative for Gender and Reproductive Equity, and the Communities Foundation. In 2023 alone, the Interfaith Alliance funded reportedly $2.87 million in revenue, including about $1.4 million in contributions and grants. It further reads, what looks like small regional interfaith initiative is in reality, a part of a much larger ecosystem, one financed by progressive, allied, philanthropic, and deeply embedded in the political and cultural battles over religion in America. The article reads, the structure of this organization makes it clear it's not simply Christian outreach. They operate with a Muslim Leadership Council that helps guide all of its priorities, all of its programs, and all of its messaging. Keep in mind, this is an organization called Challenging Islamophobia Together in Chicagoland. It's a group that's put together and getting funded from mega deep-pocketed foundations like the Rockefeller Foundation with the goal to totally overthrow Christianity. To do so by embedding Islam in the body of Christ in the church to allow the Quran to be read from the pulpits to stop, quote, Islamophobia, as they call it. The model places Muslim leadership not at the margins, but at the very center of how Christians facing initiative are developed and executed. One of its most prominent efforts, the Reading of the Quran in Church campaign, encourages congregations to engage directly with, to engage directly with Islamic scripture inside the church setting. This is not framed as an academic comparison or an optional dialogue. It's positioned as a corrective to Christianity itself. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reminded of a biblical text in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. The scripture says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Paul tells young Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof thy ministry." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying. There's a mindset today that we need to allow the Quran to be read in the pulpits in our churches. Let me just read you in my book called Is Islam Tolerant, page 79. In the book, it compares Islam with God, Islam with Mary, Islam with Jesus, etc., etc. I'm looking at page 79. "The name of Jesus is found 25 times in the Quran. Islam considers Jesus a prophet, just like Moses, Abraham, and Noah, but totally rejects the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, Islam says that Jesus Christ is not God, that Jesus Christ was not divinity, and is not today. The Bible tells us the names of Jesus was chosen by God himself. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." But ladies and gentlemen, in the Quran, in Surah 4:171, the Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger of Allah and his word, which is bestowed on Mary. Say not three, that is Trinity, for Allah is but one God. Surah 5:16, Allah will say, "Jesus, the son of Mary, did you ever say to worship me and my mother as God beside Allah?" That's a surah now in the Quran, challenging the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. In fact, Jesus instructs to worship Allah, according to the Quran, Surah 5:72. "Surely they have disbelieved who say Allah is the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary. But the Messiah, Jesus, said, 'O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Verily, whosoever sets up a partner in worship with Allah then has forbidden paradise to him, and the fire will be his abode. And the polytheists, that's Christians, and wrongdoers, there are no helpers." Ladies and gentlemen, the Quran completely confronts Christianity. There's no such thing as harmonizing, no such thing as Christianity and Islam being sister religions. It's an impossibility. That is known, but at the same time, by the deep funding philanthropists and the major foundations there today, as we speak, funding the operation to undermine the local New Testament church and to close it and change its doctrinal position where it will be, I would just say, embracing Islam. Islam rejects Jesus' sonship. The Quran totally denies that Allah begets or takes to himself offsprings. In fact, in the Quran, Surah 112, 1, 2, and 3. "So, O Muhammad, he is Allah, the one, the self-sufficient master, whom the all creatures need their neither eat nor drink. He begets nor is he begotten." In fact, the laughable thing from Islam about Christianity is that Allah wasn't married, so how could he have a son? The Muslims today, ladies and gentlemen, are the furthest spectrum away from anything that will be called biblical, theological, doctrinal Christianity. And yet it's being pushed today to bring Islam into our churches. It's bad enough to see Islam now starting to dominate blue cities and blue states across America. But it is sad and it is sacrilegious for any church to say that we're not going to be Islamophobic anymore. We're going to embrace Islam. We're going to embrace the Quran. We're going to let them come in and do their call to prayer. Islam denies the Trinity. Islam denies the deity of Christ. Islam denies the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Islam denies anything, ladies and gentlemen, that we call biblical Christianity today. I'm concerned. I'm concerned when we see more and more brazenness for those to come into churches and cause division because they disagree with something that's being said. Looking at headline. Man escorted out of the Prestonwood Church by security during a sermon on Israel, war, and Iran. It goes further in the article. Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas, a suburb of Dallas. A man described by one churchgoer as a possible protester and by others overly excited, shouting during the sermon by Jack Graham on America, Israel, and the war in the Middle East. One of the members told the Christian Post that she had attended Prestonwood since 2000, said at one point during the service, Graham, that's the pastor, began preaching on Israel and the Jews being God's chosen people, when an unidentified man disrupted the sermon before he was escorted out by three members of the security team. I was not sure, she said, if he was armed or not, but Pastor Graham was pulled away from the podium momentarily to protect him. At this point, we didn't know if the man had an accomplice or was alone. I was not waiting around for a potential shootout or bomb threat, she said. The whole ordeal was very scary. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's happening more and more often across America, and it's being done by satanic demonic forces to divide and destroy the local church. One other article that I'll read and touch on in our closing remarks. We're talking about, are we losing our liberties? And the answer to that question is yes. We're losing our liberties as incrementally we give over the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Headline says, they refuse to conform. 100,000 churches could close across America due to the disruption of in-person worship. And it goes on to talk about the one that's doing the report, put a harsh spotlight on a trend many communities have been quietly watching for years. Churches across America are shrinking, struggling, and in some cases, disappearing. According to the National Council of Churches, the report, roughly 100,000 churches in America could close in the coming year, a number that would represent a historic shift in the country's religious life. That projection is not being pinned on one single cause. It goes on to say the report from the First Baptist Church of Abilene, Texas. The explanation was broader and more unsettling. Declining attendance, rising costs, generational changes, and the lingering of disruption of personal worship from COVID era to all parts of the picture. Put together, they are creating a kind of slow motion, shake down, shake out, and could permanently alter the look of influence of American faith in our communities across the nation. That is what makes this so strong and bigger than one church, one denomination, or one city in Texas. It's really about whether or not a longtime American institution will be able to hold its ground and be able to sustain itself. Ladies and gentlemen, it deserves our prayer, our recognition that we have demonic forces undermining the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should stand for biblical truth. We should let our voices be heard and our lives be seen of standing for truth and not bowing or bending. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600.